This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful, and it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today, you'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 256.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we try to figure out which news to ignore and which news to pay attention to in a never-ending aim to maintain healthy anxiety levels. I'm your host, Nikki Farsad, and today we're going to talk about how much we talk about former presidents, and we're also going to talk about one of our other current presidents, Joe Manchin, and we'll talk about Naomi Osaka and sports media. I cannot believe the panel we have assembled for you today. It's the kind of panel where I basically don't have to do anything because of the panel. I just have to sit here and press record and then they do my job. So joining us, this is not her first time on the show. You've heard her before. You've loved her before. She is the author of the book, Yes, I Can Say That, When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble, a book that you should have absolutely already have purchased. And if you haven't, now is the time. She's also host of the podcast Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. And you can see her perform comedy all over the country. And you can see her just completely obliterate audiences because she is so fucking funny. You guys, it's Judy Gold.
Hey, oh, Judy. Thank you. Yay. Oh my God, I can't follow that. I can't follow that intro. Okay.
Also joining us today, you've heard her on the show before. She's everyone knows this woman. Everyone has experienced the joy of listening to this woman speak about, she can make it literally anything funny. That's the thing. She's host of the podcast Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. She performs all over the country. You hear her on Wait, Don't Tell Me, for example. And she's just absolutely phenomenal. Folks, it's Paula Poundstone.
Thank you so much.
I love that, Paula Poundstone. This is an honor. It's an honor.
I didn't realize when you asked me to do this, Nagin, I didn't even know Judy was going to be here. So this is like, this is a cupcake with the kind of icing that I like.
Oh, I love you.
What is the kind of icing that you don't like?
I don't anything with coconut. When they put coconut on it, wrecks it.
Or when they
put nuts on it. Why would you do that?
I'm
the same, and don't put it in my ice cream either.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, no. I agree. I don't believe that nuts
should be in a lot of things that we put nuts in. And I just want to go, I want to be on the record about that. I don't care if you know.
And so does every school child in the country.
True. Well, folks, before we get into the show, I just want to thank everyone who came out to my show last night here in New York City. It was like my first full just night of me. It was so fun. It was so fantastic. I can't believe that we sold out. And it was the first, whatever pseudo post-pandemic, wherever we are in the pandemic, it was the first show for a lot of people. I'm just honored that I was your first show. I mean, oh my God, I had so much fun. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming out. A quick note for New York City residents, early voting starts Saturday. So get out there, get your ranks going. Hit me up if you want some rank suggestions. I know we talked about the mayoral race on Fake the Nation a few weeks ago, and it is and it has really heated up since then. So you know, let me know, and I have some ideas for you. And also, thanks so much for the people who support me on Patreon. And if you join us at patreon.com/NagineFarsad, you get bonus segments of the show. Like recently we had an episode on friendship red flags with Jodi Avergan and Starlee Kine. We had a ridiculous conversation with Dean Obidala and Allison Leiby about a crazy situation involving a boat and an overly chatty person being marooned in the middle of the ocean. You can read ridiculous essays about my personal history with mime. Yeah, I said mime. I said mime.
Oh my God.
So, folks, join us at patreon.com/NagineFarsad if you want to get in on that action. And now let us get into it with topic number one. Now, I emailed you guys, I mean, just mere hours ago because I didn't want to talk about this, but that's actually the question that we need to talk about is whether or not we address Donnie and talk about our former shitty president, because he's back on the campaign trail, essentially, doing his ridiculous rallies. He had one of his ridiculous rallies recently. I didn't watch the rally. I didn't read a lot of coverage about the rally. And I honestly can't believe that anyone goes to these rallies because they're so boring. They're so unstructured. He says the same shit. It's you kind of imagine that the people who really like, you know, torturously slow, long art house movies where they do one shot of the crashing waves for 5 long minutes, those are the same people that would enjoy the rallies. They are, in fact, diametrically opposed people. But I'm just saying, like, it's interesting because there could be a Venn diagram crossover between art house cinema lovers and Trump rally goers, because it is that boring to me. So my question is, you know, he's clearly going to be out there. He's clearly going to be talking. The media has started to cover him. And I guess my question for you both is, should we be covering him at all? And my question for listeners is, like, do you want to hear us get into it about what he's doing or not doing? I mean, obviously, I'm not going to breathlessly cover him ever again. But just how much do you think you should know about what's happening on that end of the Republican Party? Paula, what do you think?
I think not talking about him at all, I guess, would be like if you had a dinner party. Like if I had a party here at my house and my dog, Mo, who's part Golden Retriever and part Newfoundland, if I just, you know, she whines and she barks and she behaves badly a lot. And if I just never, if people came through the door and Mo kind of jumped up on them, but I didn't say a word about it, you know what I mean? If I just pretended it wasn't, then it's kind of like that, you know. So right. I feel like people, he's, you know, he's not the problem, but the fact that he's doing and saying what so many people think is a good idea is the problem. So I think some coverage is appropriate. I don't want to hear his whole speech or, you know, make some poor press person watch the whole speech. I don't want to. But I do think some sort of, you know, monitoring, you know, like
some light monitoring,
you know, like,
right. So that when he's jumping up on someone's leg and sniffing their crotch, we are self-aware about it. We know we can acknowledge that it's happening.
No, I say wait till he bites.
Okay.
jumping up and sniffing their crotch. No, ignore that. At first,
right? That's just like a Tim Apple tweet or something.
Yeah. At first, when you said that, I didn't realize that you were using my, you know, my, is it called a metaphor? I didn't use
the metaphor that you set up.
At first, I thought you just meant Trump jumping up and sniffing someone's crotch, and I thought, no, that's, don't worry about that. Yeah.
Judy, where are you at on this?
You know, I kind of agree with Paula, but here's the thing. I feel like I'm going to take this dog metaphor to another level. Like, I have these friends who have this little dog and they have wee-wee pads all over their fucking apartment or their house. And it's like, you walk in and there's little balls of shit all over the place. And it's like, I don't want to eat while your dog's shitting in the corner, you know, and that's what he is. He is those little pieces of shit that are, you know, all around the, and everyone's like, delicious meatloaf, and they're shit right at your foot. So, but here's the thing. I agree with Paula, but I think the problem is, like, definitely cover that he had his pants on backwards. Like, that's fine. But, It's such a slippery slope because, yes, you don't want to talk about it, but he's so dangerous. I know he's not the problem, but he is so fucking dangerous. The constant lying and the inciting violence, and it's beyond, like, the fact that you kind of have to cover it because he's the ex-president, but just cover his lies. But we have fucking Fox News. That it's just ridiculous. It's the fact that the GOP doesn't want to investigate this insurrection. Meanwhile, Benghazi, you know, I just can't believe how low that we can go with this fucking asshole.
You know, I mean, the thing is, though, part of me, I see what you're saying. Like, he is dangerous, blah, blah, blah. So we need to cover. But at the same time, wouldn't he be less dangerous if
no one covered
fewer
him?
Fewer people, right? If nobody covered him. I think MSNBC carried part of the rally or something, but like CNN did or whatever. Like, there was some kind of coverage from a mainstream network. And I just thought, we're covering a fucking rally of some dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. Essentially, he is some dude who lives on a golf course. That is all he need be. Like,
right.
He doesn't actually have to be more powerful than that. He has as much power as we give him. And then I'm obviously not a fucking reporter. You don't listen to the show if you're trying to get, like, reporting. But I'm sort of reacting to, like, just what's out there. And I did not want to talk about him at all. But then I noticed that everybody in mainstream news was, like, covering this rally because they did, you know, they also have done polls. And then if we were voting today, he would be elected in the primaries for the Republican ticket. So it's like, in that sense, they're covering him. But I mean, there's also other people like Nikki Haley or whatever that could also snatch up the primary victory. Like, right. Why don't you cover her breathlessly in the same way? So
ratings.
I just, part of me feels like some of these, this argumentation is ridiculous. If you want to let OAN and what's that other one
exactly.
do their cover, like, great. Yeah. It'll sort of die on the vine. You know
I agree.
I mean?
Like, I agree.
I just don't think we should be covering him.
I don't think mainstream media should cover him. I really don't. And the fact that they even showed part of this, and it's not a rally, it's a shitty comic going on the road with their old fucking act. It's a hack shit act. No one, it's like, he's
it's
the
so
worst.
Boring. It's
it
so
is
boring.
So bad. It is so bad.
Yeah.
It's not even bad in a fun way, like that one movie. What's that movie that everyone goes to see, like, because it's the worst movie ever made or whatever?
I don't know.
The Judy Gold story?
The Judy Gold, there it is.
I haven't seen that.
But it's not
is even, that out?
Yeah.
The Judy Gold story?
Yeah.
You can see the boom mic in every shot the Judy Gold story. But it's not even, like, so bad it's good, right?
It's
just so bad it's boring and you just want to fall asleep. Like, and I just don't understand. So I don't know. I mean, Paula, final thoughts on this. Like, if you're a podcast host, which you are.
I am.
How much time are you devoting? Like, are you, by the way, the backwards pants thing came out of this rally because right. I guess, again, I didn't look at it. Did it look like he had his pants on backwards?
I saw it on Twitter. I don't know. I mean, to me, he could.
It's dumb. It's so dumb.
I mean, I think that's the part. I think
your point, Judy, is like that stuff is insignificant, so it's kind of fine.
Right.
But I just also, even in backward pants land, think that like, let's not fucking talk about this guy at all. His pants or any of it. Just like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Final thoughts, Paul.
Well, what we could do is get Nikki Haley to read Trump's speeches. And that way there. And I think she would be willing to. I don't think she'd have any problem with that. God. Imagine getting That's up in the funny. Morning, being one of those sycophants, you know, just.
Oh, my God.
You know, having to decide how you're going to behave that day. You know what I mean? Having to decide what it is you're supposed to say. I mean, look at Lindsey Graham. How do you even decide? Do they call him every day and say, what's okay for me to say today? I want to call him within the lines. I don't. I agree. I mean, I don't think mainstream media should cover him. And I think the reason that they did so much from the start was ratings, what Judy said earlier.
Ratings.
Absolutely.
Ratings. Yeah. Fuck. Follow the money. Fuck capitalism. Well, folks, let me know what you think. What do you want from me as your lowly dirtbag podcaster? What do you want from me in terms of like of this fucking guy? Because he's like not going anywhere, and I guess he's gonna do stuff. Like, do you want to know? I don't know. Let me know. This is an ongoing battle with me, my head, you guys in my head, and you know, Trump's pants in my head. All right, let's take a quick break. I know, I'm so sorry. Let's take a quick break, and we're gonna hear about our sponsors. Oh my God, we love sponsors. Hey. Sponsors. And then when we come back.
Sponsors are good.
Sponsors are so good. And when we come back, that is my child. She is just screaming in the background. And when we come back, we're going to talk about other things.
Today's show is sponsored by Prose. This is kind of, I feel like, you know, I'm on some sort of Lord of the Rings journey trying to figure out skincare. And I feel like this customized skincare line is really got my name on it. Basically, every bottle of Prose custom hair care and skincare, I tried the skincare just recently, is made to order and it's personalized. It's got a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs, like specifically you. And then the way they do it is you take this great, like in-depth quiz, basically. They analyze over 80 factors for a complete view of your life, your beauty goals. Like I have oily skin that's also dry, which is just a fun little conundrum. I live in New York City. Like we've got these four seasons. My face gets weird during seasonal shifts. All of these things I got to kind of talk about in answering the questions. The other fun thing was they asked us at the end, like, do you like a creamy type of moisturizer or like a less creamy kind? And I was kind of like, I think like less creamy. And they were like, that's fine. Like you can do that. But we think for your skin type, creamier is better. And I never knew that. So I love that there's so much kind of personal information that goes into creating this. I got my stuff in the mail very quickly after. I got a wonderful serum. Like I said, this very creamy moisturizer. And this also very just delectably creamy cleanser that just kind of feel like I think it's possible that I've been washing my face with just like harshness. For like many years, because when I saw this cleanser, I was like, oh, is this what it's supposed to feel like? It's supposed to feel like a little bit of a delight on my face. That's not what I've been doing. So I don't know, guys. And here's the thing. You don't have to take my word for it. In a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised controlled clinical study, which is like the gold standard for research studies, Pros prove that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives, which just sort of totally makes sense on a just logical level if you think about it. Just it makes common sense. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% of your first subscription order at pros.com/fakethenation will be taken off. That's pros.com/fakethenation. You get your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Again, that's pros.com/fakethenation. Go and get your just super personalized, luxurious skincare products and hair care products. That's what I'm going to try next. So pros.com/fakethenation. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a like a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation.
We are back and we're ready for topic number two. So Joe Manchin doesn't want to end the filibuster. Neither does Kyrsten Sinema. And yet without it, we can't get any major bills passed, including H.R. 1, the bill that's going to protect voting and, you know, democracy. For them, bills need to be bipartisan, even if that just means like one person from the Republican side has to vote with us. I guess my first question is, you know, I the title of this segment was the Joe Manchin presidency, because it does feel like I just talk about and think about Joe Manchin all the fucking time.
Oh.
So my first question, and now Kyrsten Sinema as well. And my first question for you guys is like, what do you think of this purported higher goal, this like greater moral good of bipartisanship?
Okay.
Go ahead, Judy. Go ahead.
Bullshit. You just heard fuckface McConnell say, we're just going to stop everything. Okay? There's no...
Which sounded like nothing. Okay.
That's exactly... We're going to stop everything.
It just sounded like his, yeah.
There is... We play this game that we are, you know, morally more adept, or I don't even know. Like, okay. We got to stop this. They have screwed us and fucked us over. And Joe Manchin, did they have something on everyone? That's what I want to know. They must have some shit on Joe and Kyrsten. Yeah. I don't understand. You're a Democrat-ish. You know, these Republicans, they stick together. They are a unit. There's a couple that, but we got to play fire with fire, fire with fire. We are, you know, like, I don't know how you feel, Paula, but, you know, Al Franken, he wouldn't have put up with this shit. You know, we need people with fire in their belly who, like Tim Ryan. I mean, these guys are fearless, you know, and that's what we need. We need people to call this shit out. And Joe Manchin, what the fuck is, he is driving me fucking crazy.
Paula, where are you? Are you at Judy's level of crazy?
I think I am. I agree with Judy that McConnell saying, you know, that he's not, and McConnell had the nerve to say, well, the end of, you know, it's come to, what is it, the time, the era of bipartisanship is over, as if he wasn't the guy just a couple days ago who said, all my energy is going to go into stopping anything right. Joe Biden wants. So we already know that we're not going to get, It's so frustrating that they do both things. You know, it's like right. if I burn down my house and then I go, oh, my house burned down. You can't have it both ways, Mr. McConnell. But they do. Over and over again, they do. And it's defying physics. You know how they say you can't have your cake and eat it too? And they're having their cake and then they're eating it. And
it has coconut on it. It has coconut and nuts.
Trust me, there's nuts all through. So part of the Democrats is that we just keep staring at that going like, because it frustrates me. You know what it reminds me of? When I was a kid on the playground, right? When someone would do, because I can't edit myself. I can't stop talking. There's not a thought that doesn't come out of my mouth. try as I might. And I get up every day and I say, I'm not going to tell people everything today. And by the end of the day, I'm like, I did it again. But when I was on the playground and they would say that, I would say something to somebody if I was angry or something, and they'd go, I'm rubbing your glue. Everything you say bounces off me, sticks to you. That frustrated the hell out of me. And that's some Republicans. Like, you know, why are you hitting yourself? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Like, ah. So, yes, I don't understand Joe Manchin. I do have to. Okay, I have one story to tell you. So I have a friend, and I'm not going to say who it is, but they are a longtime D.C. person. This is a person who's talked to everyone many, many, many times.
And is it Joe Biden?
It's not Joe Biden. And, okay. Oh, that was it. You got
Joe
it.
Biden.
So we go to lunch one day and I said, this is a couple of years ago. I said, I cannot rest until I find out what happened to Lindsey Graham. And she goes, oh, I know. And we're sitting at a booth and I practically leap across the table because I think she's going to whisper something like salacious about right. what the thing is, because you were talking earlier about do they have something on everyone.
Yeah.
So I literally practically leap across the table. I lean way in and she goes, they want to stay in power. They like having staff. They like getting seated at restaurants when they walk in. And I'm like, that's not it. And you know what?
Please. It's not it. And it includes a cock.
That can't be it, because also I think they're getting seated at fewer restaurants. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, but as time goes on, I think more and more she's right. Really? Yes. Mitch McConnell has not acted on behalf of the country in I can't remember when. And what he wants is to be the Senate Majority Leader. He likes that job.
Right.
He just likes that job.
He will burn down the whole house in order to get the seat beside the television. He will do anything to keep that status and that power. And I think
Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
Right. The one of the things that is at stake here, right, is HR1, which is a bill that would protect our voting rights. I mentioned in the intro, it would nullify laws passed by 14 Republican-controlled state legislatures that are meant to curtail, like, mail-in voting, It would give partisan poll watchers power. It would give elected legislatures power to overturn election outcomes. Like, what has been going on in these 14 Republican-controlled state legislatures are so dangerous, and H.R. 1 would basically nullify all of those things, right?
Does it nullify the thing where the state legislature can overturn the votes? Does it nullify that? Because I've heard it doesn't.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah. I've heard it doesn't do that.
Well, maybe I'm reading from a thing that made it sound like it does, but we have to fact check that.
Well, who wrote that thing, Bill Barr? Because he doesn't summarize well.
I believe this is from the New York Times.
Are there some redactions in it? Because they do that, and those are important redactions.
What's crazy to me is that Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, I mean, do you think that they're like going out on a limb here to protect the filibuster, which is the only thing that's standing in the way of us passing a bill like that?
Right.
And I get that if we get rid of the filibuster, we're also getting rid of it for when Republicans are in power and we have to deal with the consequences of that, right? But this is a big thing that sort of foundationally preserves democracy.
Right.
So it's like, let's get rid of the filibuster and then we can have democracy function, right? And so that's cool. Maybe we don't. Maybe it won't be so bad when Republicans don't, you know, have to deal with the filibuster. Do you think Americans actually know or give a shit about the filibuster specifically? Like, why do Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, why are they dying on this hill? Like, do you think a West Virginian is like, well, Joe, on that one filibuster thing, Joe Manchin, you know, it doesn't. I'm just surprised by this, by the position on the filibuster.
Well, their constituents, I mean, Kyrsten is in Arizona, Joe Manchin is in West Virginia. You know, their constituents are mostly Republican, you know?
No, but not in Arizona. I mean, there's the other senators.
Yeah,
are
that's
Democrat.
True. That is true. My brother lives there. But, and my nephew works for Kyrsten Sinema.
Okay, all right.
You should have revealed that in the beginning. Much? That, you know what? Full disclosure.
He is the
you
environmental...
just nullified this entire podcast.
No, it hasn't.
Oh, my gosh.
He is the environmental policy advisor.
No,
anyway,
no, you know what? This podcast is tainted now.
Whatever. I'm not with her. I'm not with her. I just don't understand it. These voting laws, first of all, it's all about racism. It's all, let's just say it. It's about people of color not voting. It's about them staying in power. It's about keeping Citizens United, which was the worst legislation ever passed. And it's like rich people can run for office and stay funded. And the term public servant. It doesn't even exist anymore. It doesn't exist.
You know, and the other thing about the filibuster, which is really frustrating, this thing that most people are like, filibuster, I don't even know her. Stupid.
Hey, now.
Thank you.
So a lot of people have mistaken it for Dave and Buster's, and and that's caused a lot of problems. And I agree. I don't want to get rid of Dave and Buster's. I like pecan pie. I mean, I try not to eat eggs, but I will make the occasional exception for pecan pie. And
no nuts.
And who doesn't like air hockey? And so, you know, and foosball. I mean, I play. Look, foosball is very important to me.
Oh my God! I love that.
Yeah, I live alone, and I have a foosball table. So, Dave and Buster's, I'm in. That's where a lot of the confusion.
I just want to say, it creates a lot of confusion, and I wonder where foosball is on the fact that out of 168, you know, cloture motions ever filed or considered. This was, I think, again, this was from the Times. 49% of those motions happened on nominations made since 2009. So this is an Obama, the use of the filibuster in this obstructionist way is something that basically just went nuts during Obama's presidency.
Oh, what is
and
that?
And again, coming back to your point, Judy, about racism, it's like they really saved this senatorial tool for the black guy when he took
right.
office.
Right,
absolutely.
And so, but it's, I just also think, I mean, I continue to say, I've said this before, I think it is a miscalculation for Republicans to think that making it more difficult to vote will help them in the long run. In the long run, it will not help them because their own people love a mail-in ballot. Their own people. In Florida, more Republicans mail-in balloted before 2020 than Democrats, right? So
right.
you're making it difficult for your own old people who like a mail-in ballot. Old people like a mail-in ballot. People that have crazy schedules like a mail-in ballot. And these people can be from your party. So
they use mail-in ballots. They all use mail-in ballots.
I'm saying this is exactly. This
them,
is
themselves,
a miscalculation. Yeah. They themselves in the Senate, in the House, use mail-in ballots. So I think that they're making a mistake. I'm probably wrong because why would they be going
well,
through
Well, I don't
the
think they should. If they're on a long line waiting to vote, they should not get water. They should not, definitely not get water. That's all I have to say.
The truth is, most, you know, although there's many provisions that are troubling that these guys are doing with the taking away the drop boxes and the mail-in ballots and blah, blah, blah. You know, people are going to get there. People are going to vote. The more you take it away from them, the right. more they're going to vote.
That's right.
But the thing about legislature being able to overturn that's the thing that must be stopped. And it's inconceivable. That is inconceivable.
Yeah. And I want to point out that, you know, you talk about Mitch McConnell just like wanting power and that's the secret with Lindsey Graham and all those guys. I really do think that's the secret with Joe Manchin because he's holding on so tenuously. West Virginia, white voters without a four-year college degree made up 69% of voters there in 2020, and they all went for Trump. Right? This is a state that voted Trump in 2020, but also voted for Manchin in 2018. So there's no reason to believe that a Democrat would ever be able to win West Virginia,
right.
In the near term. I think Joe Manchin is largely thinking about himself and that shitty, and that's all.
But if
they
he,
all do.
But if he, so if he's not there, then it would be a Republican and we'd still
right.
be up against it. I think, part of the problem is just that his argument is so, like, apparently he's voted on other things that weren't bipartisan and didn't have a problem with it.
Right.
And I agree.
Oh, yeah.
I would love for it all to be bipartisan. But the
sounds great.
But the Republicans have laid out that marker that that's not of interest to them, already saying no matter what's in the bill.
Right.
So.
But they will take credit. They will take credit for, you know, the bill if it's successful.
Final thought on this, Paula, your idea.
Okay, what if we say that even if they get thrown out of office, they still can have some staff and they still can get seated at restaurants? And that way there, we take
Folks,
away the incentive.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm
right,
saying?
We take
That's
Paula's idea for how to deal with these people. What ideas
like
do you
it.
Have? What kind of carrots can we dangle in front of these people? Let me know on all the social media that we should obviously all be also avoiding. Let us move on to topic number three. So Naomi Osaka is one of the best tennis players in the world. She's even beaten Serena Williams. But tournament season this year has been a little bit different for her because she has refused to do press interviews. She's been fined and ultimately declined to do the French Open because she just doesn't want to do the press junkets. She cites mental health reasons. And the tennis world, on its part, cites an elaborate media and economic ecosystem that makes these tennis players millionaires, which I think is what's written behind the lines. Where are you guys on this issue? Like, there was a whole hubbub about her declining to do the interviews. What do you think of that, Judy?
Well, I'm going to say I am 100% behind her. I am very pro mental health. My son is a Division I athlete, and I see the stress. And it's not like the media was 40 years ago. It's like these people are, you know, okay, this is part of your job. You're going to go in that room, and they're going to try to say nasty shit to you or, you know, just play with your fucking head. And you have to be okay with that. But I mean, the thing that stuck with me the most was when Venus Williams said, you know, I get through it because I know none of those people can hold a candle to me. They'll never beat me in tennis. They can't do what I do. But Naomi Osaka is a 23-year-old phenom. Look what we have to go through. It's so stressful. She's there to play tennis. You know, there are other ways of communicating now. I think this is so good for mental health. If she had a torn ACL, they would be like, oh, she's out. But it's because it's this other mental health thing. And they shouldn't find someone for that. And Michael Phelps is on her side. I really am 100% behind her. And I think this is a great thing for acknowledging, you know, that there is a stigma behind this and she should be able to play tennis.
Paula, where are you at on this issue?
I think she needs to use affirmations.
Yeah. Now, if you're listening, Paula has some suggestions for you.
Yeah. Well, the truth is there's no way of separating sport, professional sport, from money. And there's no way of separating the promotion of press from professional sport.
Money.
And so, unfortunately, it does all come together. I mean, I could be, for all you guys know, I am the best tennis player in the world. I just have never, promoted it. I'm not even good at that anymore, but I used to be okay. But at ping pong, but those days may be behind me. So there is no way of separating those things, unfortunately. And I really appreciate someone saying publicly, you know, mental health challenges.
We talk about it. I mean, the pressure is ridiculous. But, you know, you look at her interviews, she is sort of not the most verbal person. And it does play with her head. And look, the president even has someone else speak for him. Like, so many other people hire people to speak for them.
That's
a
good idea. She could have a spokesperson.
Right. She could be Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yeah.
And she can have Nikki Haley speak for her.
Wow, Nikki Haley has so many jobs right
now.
She has to do Trump's rallies and she has to do Naomi Osaka's interviews.
No, I want to do Naomi Osaka's interviews.
Oh my God, that would be so great.
I want people to sit and then I'll lean over to her. Yeah, right. So, all right. So Judy, ask me a press question.
So I noticed you weren't coming up to the net a lot. You were staying back. Is there something preventing you from volleying the ball?
And so now I lean over to Naomi Osaka and I come back and I can knock that ball down your fucking throat. Don't ask me a question about that. Yeah.
Always do this show with Paula, please.
Miss Osaka has asked me to tell you I can knock that fucking ball down your throat. So, you know what I would...
Okay.
I have an idea for tennis in general.
Okay.
And I'm saying this on behalf of my dog Mo. If they would use squeaky balls, it would be so much better. Just, you know,
in into the press junkets you want them to use.
When the tennis players play, they need to use the tennis balls with the squeaky sound
right,
inside.
For the dogs. Mo would love that.
You would get.
And you could also put those on the bottom of your walker so that people can know that you're coming.
Oh my gosh, you know? That's a great idea.
The tennis, you know?
Yeah.
I would say it's interesting because again, like I feel like so the old person part of me is like this is how it's done. This is how you earn millions of dollars. You don't get to earn millions of dollars if you don't engage in all of the functions of this job. Unfortunately, in most jobs, there are parts of it that you're not gonna like. You know, that's life. Life includes things you don't like. You know, but you've got to do them because that's how you're a millionaire. You know what I mean? And then the young person part of me is like, well, those rules are fucking old. And why do we have them? And they're dumb.
I don't have a young person part of me. Do you, Paula?
Right here.
You know what I mean? It's weird to be like, I feel for the French Open, but like, I see the point of like,
but the media is not like when it was Martina. It's different. It's not like it was. It's now. It's like 24/7. She said this. She did this. It's on Twitter. It's not the same as
Look, I mean, the other thing is there are tennis players who dream of having as much press coverage as she does, right? Because it helps their bottom line, because it makes a meaningful financial difference in their lives to have press attention.
But she doesn't.
So part of this is like looking a gift horse in the mouth, no?
If your money is all you're after. But, you know, like you're saying, there's hard parts of the job. I'm sure her training isn't easy, you know? And I do think the media is, it's way different. And if there was a pool of reporters, just a small group, I think they need to change it. It's vicious. It is vicious. And you see, my kids always show me these basketball players getting, you know, doing press after the game. And some of them, you know, they'll get asked questions and be like, I'm only here because I have to be. And that's how they answer every question, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Paula, have you ever said no to something? The other crazy thing to me about all of this is how amazingly like fuck you it was of her to be like, oh, well, I'm not doing the tournament. I was so impressed by that. because the guts, like I don't feel like I possess the chutzpah to just say, well, I'm quitting then. You know? And so, Paula, what do you think about, have you ever quit at that level and how did it feel?
Have I ever quit at that level?
obviously, like, not the French Open, but just, like, have you ever quit something that's, like, people, you know?
I've never been,
like, well, you're nuts.
I mean, if there was one area of my life where I'd had, you know, some moderate success, it would be as a stand-up comic, and yet there's nothing commensurate in my, I've not achieved
in
the heights
world,
within stand-up comedy as she has within tennis, such that when I go to...
Well, you've still, I'm sure you've left something or quit something that has seemed like something hard to quit. Or have you not?
I have. I mean, there have been jobs where I went, you know what, I can't because I don't, have you know, when I got my third kid, I had to say, like, you know, there was stuff I couldn't do. Okay.
Can I just say something about Paula?
Yes.
Just
I'm a whore for money and I will do almost anything. So that's really, I'm trying to find a way.
Is that what you're going to say, Judy? Is that what you're going to say about Paula?
I was just going to say, you know, look, Paula is just a genius and an icon and has so much integrity. I have to say this from someone who, I mean, she's been a hero of mine since I started doing stand-up, but
that's very,
you know,
nice of you.
I see her. I see the benefits she does. I've been at gigs where she's written a check to the people, you know, it's.
Well, I used to drink. I might have been I might have been drunk on those nights.
No, but there, yes, she, there's, you know, I myself have turned stuff down because I can't support a certain, you know, some sort of organization,
right.
You know,
for ethical reasons.
Yes.
Sure.
But see,
I think it's really hard to turn something down. Like Paula, when you were saying you had your third kid, I feel like it's so hard for me to turn something down when there is really kind of like a burnout issue or just a like stress issue. You know, it veers into the mental health issues where the few times that I've turned something down because I'm just like, I cannot possibly add something more to my plate, even though I want the money, even though it would be good, even though blah, 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 blah. Like, and once I've turned it down, the one good thing about it is that I've almost immediately forgotten about it. And
yeah,
not, you
that's
know,
true. Yeah.
It's like I immediately felt the relief of saying no.
Right.
And it was, you know, and it and just a load came off and it felt amazing.
But, you know, here's what's different. And there are many jobs that are like ours in this way, but there are many that aren't, which is it's not, you know, it's not like we haven't taken a job that we go into every day and there's benefits and that sort of thing. And I guess tennis is like that too. But so when there's this fear always that if you don't take that thing,
right.
You know, if I don't take the job that was offered to me in July, at the blah, 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 then I'm never,
I love,
you know,
that place.
Then I kill at the blah, blah, blah.
The
audiences are amazing.
So that I won't, you know, that another job won't come my way.
Right.
I mean, I remember, and it really took me a long time to, I finally, you know, when the kids were little, I would say to my manager sometimes, I would go, you know what, and looking back, I sort of wish that I had worked less, but every parent says that. But I would say to my manager, you know, he's only going to be this age right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I, you know, so I need to, but that's not hard to, you know, those are all hard decisions to make, but it's not turning down like a whole, you know, it's a whole thing. I'm talking about turning down one little job or another little job. That's how I pay my rent, is 1,000 little jobs.
Right.
And I don't know if tennis is like that.
But she, yeah, and she's set for life at this point.
I think less so.
Right. When you have that much money, and also, you know, ex-tennis players become tennis pros or coaches. I mean, you'll live in that industry. And she's fine. She's got enough money.
If she markets the squeaky ball for the tennis matches, she'll do great. I'm telling you, she'll have,
she'll have
dog fans. That's my point.
Folks, let me know what you think about dog squeaky tennis balls. And also, what have you said no to? Do you think Naomi Osaka should be saying no? And let me know what your thoughts are. That is the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining me. I would love for the people of Fake the Nation to know exactly where to go to be able to find you and all the wonderful stuff you do. Judy Gold, where do they find you?
Hi, my name's Judy Gold. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I haven't done the TikTok yet. I mean, I have a TikTok account, but I haven't done anything. At Judy Gold, JEWDYGLD, because I'm Jewish. And judygold.com. JudyGold.com, regular, JudyGold.com, has all my dates and, you know, and I have a book out called Yes, I Can Say That When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble. I have a podcast called Kill Me Now with Judy Gold, and I'll be performing in Provincetown, Massachusetts all summer long.
Amazing. You should go see her. She's so fun to watch. It is incredible.
Thank you.
Paula Poundstone, where do people find you?
I have a podcast. Do you know why I have a podcast? Because I'm a human being. And that's why I have a podcast. I have a podcast. It's called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And you can find it where you get your podcasts. Or you can go to paulapoundstone.com. You can find my dates. And that's Paula. paulapoundstone.com. And you can find my dates and, you know, funny videos that I thought were funny when I made them. And the podcast is also right there. Like that. And this has been so much fun, Nagin.
Oh, so fun.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much for doing this show. I love having you. And you guys know where to find me and all of the social medias and all that. Don't forget to join the fun at patreon.com/NagineFarsad. And what I would really love to do here is a big thanks to everyone who makes this show possible. That's our producer, Julia Lind, and our sound engineer, Stephanie Aguilar. And thanks to all the wonderful people at HeadGum. And the theme music is written by Gabi Alter. Folks, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts because it helps people find out about us. You can email us at fakethenation@headgum.com. Again, that's fakethenation@headgum.com. Let us know about topic ideas you might have, guest ideas you might have, bonus content you might want to hear, anything and everything. We're here for you at Fake the Nation at headgum.com, and we will be back in your earballs next week.
That was a HeadGum podcast.